Do your favorite podcasters know the truth about Kim Jong-un?
Are we going to let big tech companies run our lives?
Will the boys tell all about their worst work experiences?
All this and more coming up on today's No Vacation Days podcast. Hello, everyone. It's 6:59 p.m. on Saturday, May 2nd. Welcome to our humble podcast. I'm Paul, and with me this afternoon, this evening, fellow co-host Garrett.
Hello. Episode 4. This is incredible. Folks at home might think that we were gone forever. Yeah, that's not the case.
Yeah, they thought they were giving up on us, man. I never gave up on you, though.
No. That is certainly not the case. We had a little moving situation to take care of.
Yeah, we'll get that
back to normal.
Yeah,
everything's back to normal. How are you feeling, Paul?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. Actually, I'm a little sore. Yeah, we did a bike ride today. It was a lot of fun. But when I signed up for it, I didn't know we were going to be biking 28 miles.
Who would sign up for that voluntarily?
Yeah, my buns are a little sore. My hips.
Oh, that's the worst. I tell you that. So, I did a bike ride yesterday as well, and it's only 15 miles, not as much as 28. But I can't imagine going almost double that without some sort of butt protection, some bike shorts, some like padded underwear.
Yeah, we took a lot of
breaks. My butt is burning today.
Well, then that'll be me. That'll be us tomorrow.
Yeah.
But no, it was a good time. You know, it was scenic. It was beautiful. It's actually called the path is called Trails. No, it's called Rails to Trails. So it's like Rails old railroads that are not used anymore, obviously, and they're paved over now, like as bike paths. And so we went with our family out there today. It was beautiful, but man, my buns are hurting.
and so explain this trail. So y'all were still in Alabama, right? Your wife's from Gadsden, is that right?
No, she's from Arab, Alabama.
Arab, yeah. That's right. How could I forget that? But the trail y'all went on goes to Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, it started in Piedmont, Alabama, which is actually on the sign when you drive in. The one thing it says is Piedmont, home of the Chief Lapiga Trail, which is the name of the trail we went on. So it's like the one thing that's in the small town.
And it's not great when all you have going for you is a trail.
Bike trail.
Not great for a city.
Hey, shout out Piedmont. Love you, Piedmont. yes, and then you go all the way to the Georgia state line. And then you turn around and come back.
Exciting stuff.
I live an exciting life, Garrett. Dude, what's going on with you?
Man, you know, so as you know, Paul, and as the listeners are about to find out, shout out listeners. I just moved back to Houston from my apartment up in Dallas, Denton, really. So that's what I did. I moved down to Houston, back down to Houston, in an RV, no less, and a little spare RV that we have on the property.
You went from a closet to an RV for hosting the podcast.
That's correct. Yeah. This is the first podcast that will not be recorded in a closet.
You keep it real here.
Well, Paul, are you ready to get into this thing? We've got some exciting news today.
I'm really excited about this podcast. I think our listeners are going to have a good time. They're going to learn some things that they didn't know that they didn't know. they're gonna laugh. They might even cry.
Maybe cry. We're all about pulling these emotions.
I don't know what kind
people.
Of emotions. Acting. Nah. Okay. All right. You want to? You know what? I want to give you the honor. You go ahead and go. You take it.
Okay. Thank you. This is a very exciting topic for me. Kim Jong-un what is going on with this dude? And more importantly, who can we trust? Okay. So if you haven't heard, Kim Jong-un in mid-April, I think it was on April 13th, just disappeared. No one knew where he was. He's disappeared like this before, though. Apparently in 2014, nobody saw him for 6 weeks. He was limping the last time people saw him during that time, before the disappearance. And when he came back, he had a walking stick. Suspicious. Or a cane, I should say. Fast forward to now, 2020. He has fallen off the face of the earth. Reports state that he was at the hospital for some cardiovascular surgery. Then it all went wrong. Now he's in critical condition. Chinese doctors were sent in to monitor him. Those are some of the reports. But then South Korea comes in and says, no, he's actually alive and well. Then yesterday, the Korean Central News Agency, by the way, yesterday is May 1st. Yesterday, the Korean Central News Agency published several photos of him doing a ribbon cutting ceremony at a new fertilizer factory in North Korea, an event that they are saying took place yesterday, May 1st. My question, Paul, are we buying this?
I didn't think they made anything in North Korea. Fertilizer? That's the part of the story that apparently, I don't believe. I don't believe that.
Apparently. Okay, so of all this, it's the fact that they're manufacturing fertilizer, whatever they do to fertilizer.
Fake news.
That's the most... Okay, well, that is Paul's verdict. Reading all this stuff about Kim Jong-un, it is amazing to me that we live in this age where all the knowledge in the world practically is like at our fingertips with Google and with the internet, except for anything about North Korea. We know just a grain of salt of what is going on in North Korea. And that's just insane to me.
If you, a quick little Google search that our listeners can conduct while they're listening to this podcast, you can go online and search, like South Korea satellite imagery, or like North Korea versus South Korea satellite imagery. And it's like, South Korea is one of the most advanced, societies when it comes to technology, like in the history of the earth. So of course their side of Korea, the South Korean side is extremely lit up, you know, tons of bustling cities, innovative tech. And then you got North Korea, which is like cut off from the rest of the world. Look up the picture and you can see the difference of each country, and like at night, and see like it's completely dark in North Korea. So I don't believe they even have a fertilizer factory.
Man, I just,
end of the story.
It's just crazy to me. And there's only a select few people outside of North Korea that have an inkling of what's going on. I watched a documentary a few years ago. They got some level of quote unquote inside access into what goes on there. And we've got former NBA player Dennis Rodman, who's apparently like the best buds with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about.
Shout out The Last Dance documentary on ESPN.
Yep, yep.
Awesome.
Yep, good stuff. It's like, but I don't even believe that he has really a full grasp of the truth of what's going on in that country. I think he's being fed. I could go down this rabbit hole all day. I just don't think that any of us know what's going on. And that's scary, but also like super, super fascinating to me. I don't know.
So who else has set or who's like been in North Korea that you probably are never going to guess this? He's a famous comedian.
Who?
In television night
Chris
show.
Rock.
No, Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Brien visits North Korea. Look it up on YouTube.
Huh.
It's hilarious.
He had a travel show type thing. Was it for that?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. I watched an episode or two of that.
That's great. Love Conan.
Well, so the jury's still out on Kim Jong-un. Is he dead? Is he not dead? The truth is, we don't know.
Didn't this happen with his dad? Like, the same kind of stuff? Like, people were like, oh, is he alive? Isn't he alive? Or like, whatever.
I'm not aware. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And, like, it makes more sense back then because we don't have, or we didn't have the technology today that we do today to track that, to fact check that. So, but still, we do have the technology today, and we still can't figure it out. That's Kim Jong-un, everyone. Paul, why don't you go on to the next topic?
Topic number two. Big tech runs my life. I'm talking Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Google, and Microsoft. The big five, Garrett.
Big five.
It is, yeah, everybody is realizing now during this quarantine, all of the different like social activities or I guess extra activities you would go to in your life, like concerts or like going out to the gym, you know, socializing with friends, all of that is being and has been migrated to one of those big five services. So like a lot of things are going to Facebook's Instagram Live. You know, a lot of those concerts, Lindsay and I are, you know, watching a lot of the concerts that our favorite musicians are doing, conducting. And turns out a global lockdown, as such as one we are currently experiencing, is the ideal time for those five to be dominant in the fields such as cloud computing, social networking, video games, logistics and delivery. Who would have thunk it? So, you know, by helping us make the transition to working from home feel less crippling, these tech companies have managed to play offense while a lot of the middle players, you know, even scramble to survive. In the startup, I guess, environment over in California, massive layoffs. All of these startups who are thriving, they no longer exist in the matter of 2 months. And those big five are buying them all up because they're the only five left in the game. So, and a lot of people are forgetting how, I guess, under scrutiny those big tech firms and companies were in before all of this was going on. I mean, don't we remember when Mark Zuckerberg had to testify before, you know, a House committee for data privacy and how there were like extremes he was found out that Facebook was using all of this data.
That honestly feels like 5 years ago. No lie. That feels so long ago.
Yeah. And then you see all these,
it's
like,
it's not even on my radar anymore.
Right. And you see all these nostalgic commercials that are on TV now and like all on all the streaming services. And I'm just like, Mark Zuckerberg, you're not going to pull one over on me. I don't believe this. But also, like, you know, the company who can deliver you toilet paper in 2 days, you know, you feel really thankful for. So you're not thinking about how Jeff Bezos, you know, owns the entire world, basically. So, you know, Amazon's delivering all of our essential goods and non-essential goods for that matter, with more than 30 million Americans now, I think it was up to 35 at the end of this week, have filed for unemployment. Amazon has hired 175,000 new workers, more jobs than it added all of last year. So, pretty crazy how the big tech companies are getting even bigger through all of this social distancing and COVID-19 situation. But my last point, the House Judiciary Committee has not forgotten, and Jeff Bezos himself has been called to testify over allegations that Amazon lied to Congress. So we might be forgetting, and you know, the 24-hour news cycle has, I guess, forgotten all of the scrutinies and all of the illegal activity of these big tech firms, but there will be a reckoning one day, and I think you know, at least the Judiciary Committee, House Judiciary Committee won't forget and hold these big firms accountable.
To infinity and beyond, SpaceX and NASA briefed the public on Friday, May 1st, on the specifics of their demo mission that they've been planning out. Two astronauts will be on board for the trip to the International Space Station. So SpaceX is sending off a shuttle that will mark the first shuttle launch on American soil since 2011, when Space Shuttle Discovery launched, which, fun fact, I was actually there at that shuttle launch. Nice. Got to witness that happen. Pretty interesting. The mission is set for May 27th, so coming up here at the end of this month. It's very exciting stuff. So the astronauts return from leaving International Space Station to cannonballing into the Atlantic Ocean should take about 24 hours, which seems like a long time to be free-falling from space. And I know you probably won't feel it for a great amount of time until you enter, like, the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But just the thought of free-falling, however many miles that is one of the most frightening things in the world to me.
Because so, I'm free-falling, yeah.
Yes, of course. I set myself up for that one.
Yeah, I had to get you.
In related news, Virgin Galactic, their Spaceship 2 completed its first glide flight over New Mexico on Friday, May 1st as well. This being its first time flying freely, so I guess before it had like some kind of plane that was carrying it somehow. So all this stuff is happening on May 1st. We got Kim Jong-un reportedly making a reappearance, but we're not buying that. We've got SpaceX and NASA briefing the media on their trip that they'll be taking at the end of May. And we've got Virgin Galactic completing its first glide flight over New Mexico. Very exciting thing. So the question becomes, Paul, if you had the money to blow on this kind of thing, which, to be very specific, Virgin Galactic is selling tickets for their future flights at $250,000 a pop, plus the $1,000 registration fee. Okay. So if you had the money to blow on this thing, would you pay to be a passenger on one of these commercial space flights?
No, never, 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 never.
Okay. Why?
Because I can barely get on an airplane as it is.
I feel that. I feel that.
Dude, I cannot, like, no. I would, you know, I'd be a good boy and I'd put that money in the bank. Or no, I'd put it in the stock market and let it build for me.
Yeah, so that's a lot of money. Even for millionaires, $250,000 is a hefty sum. And in fact, Virgin Galactic is apparently struggling to find passengers for their flight. So this momentous occasion of flying in a commercial flight into space, they're struggling to find people to fill the seats. My take on it is this. I would not pay to go on this flight. I would not pay the $250,000 if I had it to go on this flight. Because I understand that this is, you know, the first step in many steps, and they're looking way into the future, looking to go to Mars, looking to go you know, set up shop, set up some kind of colony in outer space, right? That's yeah. The ultimate goal. Virgin Galactic has come out and said that. And this is just the beginning step to that. I'm not going to pay $250,000 to do just like a round trip just to the very tip of space.
Right.
Like the shuttle is just barely getting out of Earth's upper atmosphere.
If I'm paying that, we're going to the moon.
Exactly. I am only paying $250,000 to get to the moon. I want like a to make a circle around the moon and come back. That's what I'd pay $250,000 for. And that's what I'm waiting for, Virgin Galactic, okay? So make that happen, and I will come up with the money somehow. I will take the trip around the moon or Mars or whatever, but not just to the – not just an inch out of Earth's atmosphere. No. So that does it for the news stories. Now it's trivia time, and now it's time for me to ask the question. And Paul,
baby.
The spotlight is on you. Ooh. It's time for you to put your noggin to the test, okay? So here we go. Here's the question.
Yeah, stump. Are you ready?
Here's the question.
I'm always ready. I'm a genius.
Which cult TV show from the 1990s featuring David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson was resurrected in 2016?
X-Files.
Oh! Oh!
I roasted you, bro.
You are correct. X-Files.
Yeah, it's actually
The X-Files.
So, wow. On a technicality. Are you serious?
Yes, you got it right, Paul. I've got two harder ones on the docket, but I'll save for next time.
That and a thousand.
All right. It is 2-1 on the scoreboard right now. So I've got a game up on you.
Yeah. All right. Best of five. All right. So, story time. So, last episode, we shared our stories about Airbnb, still bitter, and got a lot of feedback from our listeners. So for episode 4, we decided to continue in that spirit and share some more stories. So for this episode, we're going to ask a question. I want you to go first, Garrett. I'm going to ask you a question.
You want me to go first? Okay.
Yeah. What is the worst job experience that you ever had?
Well, Paul, thank you for asking. Job experience I ever had was at Men's Warehouse. My stint at Men's Warehouse lasted a summer in between, I think it might have been between my senior year of high school and freshman year of college. Can't be sure. Pretty sure that's right, though. I was a sales associate there, thinking that it was going to be just the time of my life, me being in a close, and at the time thinking that Men's Warehouse was this awesome store. How silly I was. I was dead wrong, Paul. So let's see, where to begin with the nightmare that was my time at Men's Warehouse.
Nightmare.
Well, so it was the beginning of the summer, so a lot of schools were the prom was coming up when I started, so I had a lot of tuxedo fittings for high schoolers, and also summer's like right in the middle of wedding season, so you got tux rentals just out the wazoo. That is where I learned that the tuxes that they have for rent are worn anywhere between 100 and 200 times before they retire them. I want you to think about that for a second. Think about the sweatiness, the grossness. Like some other dude whose hygiene you cannot attest to is dancing, getting down, limboing, doing whatever he can to impress some girl at the prom or at a wedding in the tux that you are now wearing. That goes through a very minimal cleaning process. Okay. So I learned that, and that was so gross to me as someone who prides himself on personal hygiene. That is beyond gross. So you will never catch me renting a Men's Warehouse tux. I keep saying tux ever again, as long as I can help it. Okay. So that was one part of the job that just sickened me and made it worse. Another part is that my manager, the store manager, we had, of course, like you do in most retail places, there's sales competitions every month, and the winner gets a bonus or some kind of prize, something like that. So I believe for Men's Warehouse, it was a bonus. And I was an excellent salesman, okay? I don't often toot my own horn, but I will this time. I was incredible. And just getting deals left and right. This manager would input my sales as hers. So she would win the contest every month. Yes. She would give herself
what's
a
her
bonus.
Name? I'm getting it.
I could not recall. I think it started with a T. no one could say for sure.
I can think of some names for her.
Look up. Yeah, she would steal my sales and take the bonus every month. And we went to a bowling night, like a company-wide bowling night, which was pretty fun. Then I saw some iffy behavior between my store manager and the regional manager. Some interesting chemistry there. So I asked around with my coworkers, and they said, "Yeah, something's going on there. Something's going on. She should have been fired a long time ago. Something's going on there." So, and you know, for the sake, I don't want to get sued or anything. So that's where I'm going to stop with that story. But just some iffy behavior from the store manager.
Yeah, you never know who's listening to this pod.
Yeah, yeah. If you're listening out there, though, store manager, I remember. So yeah, that's just a taste.
Now Paul remembers.
That was just a taste of my horrible summer experience working in Men's Warehouse. So I'm going to go ahead and give this tip to all listeners. Don't rent a tux from Men's Warehouse. Don't go buy a suit from Men's Warehouse. There's plenty of other places online where you can find much better suits at a much better deal. Okay. And if you want more information, you can personal message me. I'll be happy to share. So that's it for me.
Now I just want to take some time to shout out to our sponsor, Men's Warehouse.
Perfect.
Come get a suit. It's only been worn a couple times.
Couple hundred. Okay, yeah. Paul.
What's your
worst job experience?
All right, dude. You know, I've worked numerous jobs in my life. It took me a while to figure out which one I want to talk about. But I think I'm gonna land on. I worked at a library once. I know. I worked at a library.
A library.
You know, some people
still
are like,
have those.
Yeah, exactly. Those still exist. I worked at a library in college. It was a student job. You got through the student union building. You go in, say, "Hey, I need these many hours," and it's minimum wage. It's very, you know, it takes no skill. You just sit behind a desk and you check in books. I mean, that's it. But you know, I need some cash.
Of course,
I needed to buy some things.
I had to buy some wings at Buffalo Phil's
every Friday.
That's a very niche reference.
So I worked at Gorgas Library. Shout out Gorgas. Shout out University of Alabama. Roll Tide. There you go. So I would work some unusual hours. This library stayed open crazy late. I think it would only shut down for maybe like 2 hours every day. So it was open till I would want to say 4 a.m. and close at, and open at like 6:30 a.m. or 7. So I would work the night hours, and I would basically be behind it. No one's coming into the library checking out books at 12 a.m. And if they were, they were really strange people. But one of my jobs, I did this for a semester, so I wasn't doing this the whole, and this story is one of the main reasons why I quit, but I was behind the desk and I'd usually just do some homework. It wasn't frowned upon. It was cool. You know, we're in college. Do some homework and somebody comes up. Most of the time I was just telling people where the bathroom was. That was basically my job. But one of my duties was every night at closing to go down to the basement and turn off the basement lights.
Oh, God.
Now, to our listeners who attended UA, everyone knows that the basement of Gorgas, if my memory serves me correctly, there's actually two basement levels that the only way you can get down there is by elevator.
Yes, I remember this.
No windows. It was complete, like, floor-sized bookshelves all the, like, consuming every inch of that place. So obviously I would go down to get, or be based on only an elevator. You go down there, and the light switch wasn't by the elevator. It was like way on the other side of the, so you basically had to go over, turn off the lights, and walk back in the dark to the elevator.
Oh my god!
People could be hiding down there. Who knows? Anyway, I was doing that for a couple months, and it turns out there was a dude living down there.
No,
for the same amount of time that I was working down there. One of my coworkers who we rotated on shifts found a sleeping bag and some like camping, like, you know, a burner that you would put like a can of beans on, or like, you know, whatever you want to heat up. Found that, some other camping utensils, a pillow, a garbage bag full of stuff. And when he found that, there was a guy down there, a homeless guy. And I'm sure he needed a place to stay, but my nightmare had came true. And there was most likely that that guy was down there in the dark while I was walking back and forth.
Oh yeah.
To get the light off. And you know, it makes you wonder.
Oh my God. It
makes you wonder, man. He could have been walking behind me, you know, who knows? Who knows what he's doing down there?
That's terrifying. He's probably a great guy and just needing a place to stay. Yeah. But just the mere idea of that is terrifying. Yeah. Mm.
That's my story.
That's something. Oh, I don't blame you for quitting after that. Maybe relocating to a different position within the library.
It was just around Christmas time. And well, it was right, you know, around Christmas break. And, you had to basically apply like every semester, or like say, yeah, I'm still interested in doing it. And it was right about that time when I said, no, I'm not interested in doing this anymore.
That's a pretty bad job experience. The library one.
Hey,
that's bad. So to sort of round down this podcast episode, got a little prompt for us, Paul. We're going to start off with you this time. What's a guilty pleasure show or movie or both? You can give me more than one that you just love to death and either are embarrassed by it or should be embarrassed by it, or, you know, whatever. Guilty pleasure movie or TV show. Go.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about this when you had sent this over earlier, and I'm not one to like be embarrassed by what I watch. I know that sounds like so cliche or whatever. Like, I've got super awesome self-esteem, but I'm really not, because like, I want to watch what I want to watch. And, you know, I don't really care what people think. But I guess to answer your question, like, guilty pleasure show that I guess people wouldn't think that I love, and that's Friends. I mean, Friends is the best, dude. You cannot beat it.
Everyone loves Friends, Paul. Friends.
Not everyone. I mean, some people think
That's actually true. Not everyone loves Friends.
A lot of people think like Friends are, you know, for girls or whatever, but I don't care. Love Joey. Big Joey guy. And then, of course, you know, I'm married. Shout out, wife. Love you. So it's not something that I always want to watch, but I get caught up in it. And that's The Bachelorette, man. Bachelor. We watch it every week.
Yeah, that's definitely the guilty pleasure show. It's definitely more guilty than Friends. I hate The Bachelor.
And I hate how much I get into it, you know? I'm never gonna be the one to say, hey, let's watch The Bachelorette tonight. You're like, that's not me. But I mean, if it's the only thing we're watching, then, you know, I'm gonna watch it.
No, yeah. Macy's tried to put it on for the both of us to watch. As soon as that comes on, I flip up my laptop and I start doing something else. But even in the background, it's just the most annoying background noise ever. Because they say things that, like, get your attention.
We don't want drama. Why is there so much drama?
They say these things to get your attention, So you can't even like distract yourself from it, really. I mean, you try, but every few minutes or so, your head just goes back up to the TV. God, I hate that show. I hate that show. Okay, well, my guilty pleasure, I can think of two TV shows. One I'm not all that ashamed about and openly suggest it to my friends. But I feel like they are ashamed of me for watching it, so I'm going to say it. Gilmore Girls. I love Gilmore Girls.
Shocker. That is a shock, man.
Amazing. I absolutely love it. It's so funny. It's like right down my alley as far as humor. It's so good.
Lindsay loves that show. We watched it.
Good.
An episode yesterday, actually.
Yeah, I actually haven't finished it. I've got about like 3 episodes left, and I do this thing with shows I love where I put off watching the last few episodes or the last episode for as long as I can because I don't want it to be over. But then, of course, when I do finally get to the last episode and I finish it, I immediately start the series over again.
Wow. I'm surprised. That's, you know, you're owning it, and I respect that. It's great.
This is just my truth, Paul, and I want you to respect that.
Okay. All right.
Now, the show that I'm more ashamed of, for sure, because I know it's bad. Gilmore Girls, I actually think is good, and I will fight you to the death if you say that it's bad.
Yeah.
However, this show is straight up bad, and I don't really have an excuse for liking it, and I don't like any other shows that are like this either. So I don't understand. But that show is Smallville.
Oh, I remember that show. Yeah, Superman.
Yeah, the Superman show from the
CW. Superman. Yeah.
Actually, I think Gilmore Girls was on the CW as well. So maybe there's a trend there. Maybe I like the weird CW shows. But yeah, Smallville, I know it's terrible, but
yeah,
it just, I don't know. Something about it, man. Let's just enjoy it.
Let's just enjoy the ride.
All right. So quick thing before we say goodbye. I have a Netflix recommendation for you, Paul, and for everyone out there listening. Okay.
Let me hear
you ready?
Yep.
It is called Middleditch and Schwartz. I'm going to repeat that. Middleditch and Schwartz. Have you heard of it?
What on earth is that show about? I have no idea.
Okay, so Middleditch and Schwartz. It's Ben Schwartz, the guy who plays John Ralphio in Parks and Rec.
And, yeah.
I think his name is Tom Middleditch, Tim, something like that. I forget his first name. But the main character from Silicon Valley. You recognize him when you see him, for sure. And it's an improv show.
Live
improv show. There's 3 episodes. Hopefully more. Actually, yeah, right up our alley.
Oh, this is awesome. I'm going right after this to watch it.
It is like one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen, to be honest.
Let's do it.
It's so funny. So definitely recommend it. The first episode is the best, I think. So definitely watch the first episode, and hopefully you'll be hooked. So that's my Netflix recommendation.
And with that, this is Peej and Jihao wishing our great listeners a happy Saturday. We are signing off until next time.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify, and go ahead and give us an Instagram follow while you're at it, @NoVacationDaysPodcast. This was nice.
It was nice.